It's showtime, folks. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Big Joe with the day off today, so it's just me and Dr. Crane running the things. What's up?
Howdy, howdy.
How you feeling? You good? You ready?
I'm feeling great.
I got to tell you, I knew today the weather was supposed to be nice, and I got my car and everything and immediately went sunroof. Cracked the windows. It was a nice drive in. And look, let me tell you this as well, Nashville, Tennessee. Metro's Finest is enjoying it today as well. The Harleys are out, so just keep that in mind as you, cruise around Nashville, Tennessee. Saw a few down by the airport. They were enjoying the nice weather as well. So we obviously appreciate the men and women of law enforcement that are keeping us safe.
Indeed.
And getting us to slow down a little bit.
Yeah, so, that's always a good
thing. Slow
down
and enjoy the moment. That's what you have to do sometimes.
It's a warm 45 to 50 degrees out there. That's the best way to put
it. It's almost 60. I mean, I think it's supposed to be over 60.
Pressure cooker is cooking pretty quick today. All right.
So it's a nice day. That is for sure. And we love that. We're interested to hear from the Titans brass, Mike Borgonzi. It'll be the first time that he has spoken since he was introduced as the new general manager. The head coach, Brian Callahan, also going to speak at the NFL Combine. So this is always, an important time when they do their whole thing. And I'm curious of what they have to say. I mean, I'm curious what you want them to say as, a fan. Do you want to hear Borgonzi immediately get up there and be like, yep, we're open for business. We're listening to offers for the number one pick. I mean, do you care? Cause I mean, the thing is, it doesn't really matter what he says. It doesn't matter if he says, yes, we're listening or no, I think we're going to stick and pick. He's not going to tell you that. And it's not going to be completely truthful either way. I mean, it's not a shot at him. That's just how it goes. I mean, you got to play the game. And I think that he's going to certainly be doing that. But my guess is he's probably going to say something to the effect of, yeah, I'm listening to offers for the number one overall pick, and we'll see. But I don't think that's groundbreaking by any means. There'll be people that'll tweet that out like it's breaking news. I saw Paul Kaharsky kind of say that last night, and I laughed because it's true. But I don't think it's breaking news by any means.
No. And to me, looking at, a grand scheme of it all, it's you're playing poker is what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're a front office like the Titans, you're playing poker. You're trying to make sure you're bluffing half the table and then the other half the table that's serious about, putting in their bets for the next round. That's how you got to go at it. And also, too, you want to make sure you don't play too much of your joke, I guess you could say, too much of your hand. You don't want to have too much of a tell. Because if you have too much of a tell, guess what?
They're going to take advantage of that.
Bingo.
Yeah, so you don't want that. And, I mean, that's – Borgonzi's got to learn. I mean, he's been around enough. He's seen it enough in the assistant GM chair. But he's got to, play the game, play the poker game. I think poker's a perfect analogy because that's exactly what it is. So we will. I don't believe there's a live stream anywhere of this, but we will keep everybody, abreast of the quotes and all that comes out. We obviously have had some fun with that before when it comes to Twitter and all that, but we'll keep you updated. Because I am curious of what they have to say. I think here in about 10 minutes is when all of that starts, it'll be interesting. In fact, Jim Wyatt, has his mock draft 3.0 piece, and it says, on Tuesday, Titans GM Mike Borgonzi and coach Brian Callahan will speak to reporters, and they'll tell you which player the team is picking in the 2025 draft. Just kidding. We all know that's not going to happen. But it's always funny to kind of look at the mocks. I mean, you got a lot of Cam Wards. You got a lot of Abdul Carters. Some Travis Hunter picks, Shedeur Sanders. I mean, it's really that group, and that's all it should be. But I don't know. It's going to change multiple times, over the course of the next few months of whether it gets to they stick and pick at one or do they trade out. I've said it from the very beginning. I think they should trade out and get as much draft capital as possible. They don't have a third-round pick this year. They could certainly get that. They could get another first for next year and really set them up, kind of like John Robinson did when he took over as general manager and they had the number one overall pick. He traded that asset and got even more assets and was able to move around multiple times and got some key players. So my hope is that's what Borgonzi is going to do. I would love to see a scenario where they could end up with a great player as well as moving around. And I think there's a scenario where they could do that, where they could move, and stay in the top five and still get draft picks and still get a good player. But I think it's going to change a lot. And this weekend is going to dictate a lot of that, because even though we joke, it is the Underwear Olympics, they do get some answers out of this, not just by the workouts, but the conversations that they're going to be having.
Yeah, I think the conversations are going to be something you got to really have to hone in on, because a lot of these athletes that are top tier, like Abdul Carter, he's not participating in any of the workouts at the combine, which is kind of interesting. I guess
they like to wait to their pro days now. Cam Ward's deciding if he's going to throw, which I'm just like, why do they? I mean, they do this so they can all get together. I mean, a lot of deals get made at Indianapolis. And that's probably why it's still there, and it's another thing for the NFL Network to cover. But I don't get why, some of these players go, because they're not going to do anything.
That's what blows my mind. Like, if you're a top three draft pick, you should be participating in every single drill. Yeah. I understand there's a lot of money involved. I get that. But you're putting on a show. Your talents have been put on throughout the whole college football season. But at the same time, you're going into the draft. This is the best of the best.
Absolutely. I mean, you got to – I think – to me, I don't think Shador and Cam are good enough not to throw. And Shador's not, and Cam's deciding. I mean, I think they need to show off what they can do, but they got people telling them, and, that's what it always is. They all got to – I'm a little surprised, and I don't know if you agree with this or not. I'm a little surprised that Deion – we've all worried about, is Deion going to be in his ear too much? Is Deion going to be talking too much? But I would think Deion would want him to do everything he possibly can to show off on a national stage.
Yes and no, if that can make sense.
Yeah,
I think Deion Sanders has built so much of a reputation under his name himself that he has the connections behind closed doors to say, hey, he's got his explanation for each of these reasons as to why Shador's not doing this in the NFL Combine, or if he's going to participate in this and this part of the NFL Combine. Like, he has those strings he's pulling behind closed doors that's not being covered on television, in my opinion.
Yeah. Well, and Ricky just texts, like, I may have an injury and boom, draft stock is gone. I hear that argument all the time. My thing is, if you're worried about getting hurt, then I don't know what to tell you, because when you worry about injury, you're going to get hurt. That's generally what happens.
And if I were in the front office, I would be concerned about that.
Yeah, but the thing is, this is just how it is with the combine. It's always been this way, especially in the last few years, in the modern day of the combine. They go, they talk to teams. That's the big takeaway. And then they do all the drills and everything at their pro day, where it's home turf. They're working with people they know. They can show you the best of the best, the highlight film, and then, that's where stuff happens. But, we've seen in the past that, and I think Anthony Richardson's a prime example of this a few years ago, that there's always a combine darling that everybody falls in love with, and their stock goes, way up, probably, and it's all probably a smokescreen, but that's what ends up happening. And then you have a guy that gets, reached for in the first round, and they turn out to flame out, a la Anthony Richardson. He can't stay healthy.
And two, with pro days, the thing that people don't realize, you're in a controlled environment in Indianapolis. You're in a bubble. Whereas if you're going to a school that's, say, for example, Boise State, you don't know what the weather's going to be like for Ashton Jeanty. He's going to participate in his pro day, obviously, but he's also holding out in some, I guess, combine activities. I think they said online that he's going to be in the medical evaluations, obviously, but if you're not going to participate in the bench press or a running drill or an L drill or something, I would prefer to do it in Indianapolis rather than your hometown, I guess, or home college, because you don't know what the weather's going to be like if it's outdoor, which it is. That's my biggest issue, and it bugs me to no end because I've seen it firsthand. I went to Western Kentucky to watch a pro day, and a poor guy pulled his hamstring, couldn't do the 40-yard dash.
Yeah.
And, like, come on. You had the opportunity to do it at the combine, and you go back for your pro day, and there you go.
Right. I mean, that's the risk they all take. So that's what happens sometimes. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's a very simple question. What do you want to hear the Titans say? Does it matter? Like, do you care? Do you want them to just get up there and go, hell yeah, we're looking to trade the first pick, or we're open for business? I'm just curious. 615-737-1025. We'll get you some quotes as they come out. Hal Gill going to join us at 9:30. 10 o'clock, we've been telling you about the Celebrity Comic-Con coming to our city this weekend. The Honky Tonk Man is going to join us, WWE Hall of Famer. So looking forward to talking to him, the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. We will talk to the Honky Tonk Man at 10 o'clock as well. It's Chase and Big Joe here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Dr. Crane feeling it this morning.
It's the jam.
I like it. 615-737-1025, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. You can weigh in on anything that we're talking about. So stuff coming out with the Combine. And what's funny is the Titans brass are going to speak at the same time as Vrabel. So you know that had to be on purpose. But just seeing that Falcons general manager Terry Fontenot said Kirk Cousins' potential availability, quote, "We expect Kirk to be with us for the foreseeable future." Okay. I'm sure you do.
Take that with a grain of salt.
The last time I heard somebody use a form of the word foresee, A.J. Brown got traded. So I'm going to say, yeah, that's what I'm going to say. Was that Rex Road?
It was.
That's awesome. I'm calling cap on that for sure. So Callahan going to speak at the same time as Vrabel. So that's just wonderful that's going to be the case. But that's all right. That's how it goes sometimes. So as the quotes come out, we will bring them to you. I think I'm interested to hear, you know, I'm obviously wanting to hear Borgonzi, but – I definitely want to hear Callahan and what he has to say. So, by the way, when we get to celebrity birthdays later, happy birthday, Jeff Fisher.
Really?
Yes. How could Joe miss Jeff Fisher's birthday?
Maybe they're actually going out on a boat somewhere.
They could be hanging out. So, but yeah, I'm curious to hear what Callahan has to say, you know, now that he's, you know, made some staff changes and got his second-year coaching staff together. You know, he talked about the things at his end of year press conference that, you know, he obviously learned and what he needs to work on. And, you know, I don't expect all that to be cleared up in one press conference. You know, obviously this is about talent and the number one overall pick and all of that. But I am kind of curious to see how he, you know, has grown, I guess, in the first year that he's been the head coach. So that's always fascinating to me.
How do you think he handles the quarterback questions when it comes to Will Levis and then comparing it to a top pick in this year's draft? Because everybody knows when he came to Nashville, he was like, oh yeah, Will Levis, like that was the selling point for him to take this job. And now it's kind of obviously a full season under him. Yeah. Now things have changed.
So I'm glad you brought that up because a few people have said that of like, well, he loved Will Levis. I mean, what does that say? I mean, what do you expect him to say? You think when he's up there at the podium being introduced, like, yeah, I think Will Levis is trash, but you know, I wanted a job, so I just took it. You know, of course he's going to say that, oh yeah, I was attracted to having, you know, a young quarterback and Will's great and all this stuff. He's also has not minced words with Levis and has said, you know, that, you know, I've kind of challenged him. These are the things he needs to work on and all of that. I mean, you know, I think it's the writing's on the wall that Will Levis is not going to be the starting quarterback anymore. But, you know, I think it's also safe to say he's still going to be here and they're going to expect improvement out of him. And look, they may go through this process and, you know, draft a quarterback later and not sign one of these names that's out there. I mean, they may not be in on Aaron Rodgers. They may not be in on Matt Stafford. They may not be in on Kirk Cousins. You know, they could bring in somebody like Mac Jones, and it's a true competition. I know Titans fans don't want to hear that. I don't want to see them do that. But would anything surprise you at this point?
No. Not really.
Like if they're like, nah, we're gonna run this back. I mean, I think the thing that would surprise me the most is if they just completely ran it back with Levis and said, nah, we want to give him another year under this regime. If they're doing that, then Brian Callahan's gonna get fired. Like that's basically what it's telling me, that, you know, Borgonzi's like, I want to go get my own guy, so I'm just going to let this thing crash and burn this year, and then we'll pick high again next year, and I'll go get my guy. We do have Brian Callahan, so let's go to the podium.
Matt, and as many good players as we can get, it's our job to fit them in to our schemes, offense, defense, and special teams. So that's how I look at it. I'll never change how I look at it in that regard, that you have to be able to fit good players into what you do, and you build your systems around that talent at the end of the day, and that's our job. Yeah, there's sort of a two-pronged approach, right? There's the evaluation of the tape and what they've shown over their careers, and then there's learning about them as a person. You know, how do they see football? How do they interact with their teammates? How do they interact in your building when you bring them in? So all those touch points now are starting. So we've got the evaluation of the tape, and now you're trying to figure out how that tape matches up with the person and their knowledge of football, their knowledge of schematics, and where those things are good or where they might need to improve. And that's what this next, you know, from now until the draft essentially is about, with the combine being the starting point, and you have your 30 visits in your spot. They have pro days, there's private workouts. All of those things factor into the process as you get closer to the draft. But right now, it's trying to find out as much as we can about the person as opposed to just them throwing in a workout. I think you're always looking for the player that's going to be better longer. You always are looking for the long term. I think there's short term components that you're looking for, but you want players that are going to be, you know, playing at their best for their longest, and hopefully for 10, 12, 15 years if you hit it right. And that's all positions. You know, there's you want guys that are going to grow and continue to get better. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Anytime you're picking, especially in the first two rounds, three rounds, you're looking for guys that can impact and play. But again, that doesn't necessarily mean that there's not other paths to that process. You know, there's a lot of different ways it's been done over the years with guys that have spent time sitting. Some guys have played right away. Those are all things that we'll evaluate as we keep going. But certainly you're picking a guy at the top of the draft that is going to be an impact player. That part's the hardest part, to be honest. That's a good question, because there's a lot of guys that can talk it in the meeting room. They know what to say, how to say it. They can articulate their schematics. But the hardest part is can they take what's being taught and then execute it? And sometimes it's really more about taking it from the practice, from the meeting room to the game day. That's the part that really matters the most, because guys can sometimes do meeting room to the practice field, but it's about how do you execute under pressure and under duress when it's all live. And that's the hardest part to find out. Sometimes you don't necessarily know until you know. Do you have a process for that, though, to try? Oh, yeah, there's ways you can try to simulate it as best you can to try to figure out, you know, where those gaps might be or where you might be looking for supplementation to get them to that point. But, yeah, there's definitely ways that we try to simulate that as best we can. It's not a perfect science, though. Yeah, I think I would say probably for the area scouts, it's probably the hardest because years passed, right, before all these guys transferred, you'd have 2, 3, 4 years of information gathering on a player. If you're an area scout, let's say you're the SEC, you're the Southwest Area Scout, and you're building 4 years worth of a profile on a player. Well, now these guys might transfer two times, usually at least once, sometimes twice, And now there's gaps in the information. The assistant coaches don't know them as well. You don't have the same depth of character evaluation that maybe you had before. So it's a changing landscape, and our guys have, just like everyone across the league, is adapting to. But I think there is an effect on how well you can know a player when they've jumped two or three times. You got to do your research, and you got to do your due diligence, and you got to make sure you talk to all the people at those places to sort of put the picture together. Whereas, you know, 10 years ago, you could have a pretty good profile built on a player over the course of 3-4 years. Oh yeah, those the area scouts are critical. You know, that their ability to do that and find information, they're in the information gathering business, and their ability to do that now in a changing landscape, I think, is really, really critical. And those guys play a huge role in helping put together the profile of a player when it comes to their makeup. And it's certainly landscape has changed, and they've done a good job adapting to it. One more time, John. Oh, very realistic. Yeah. Yeah, it's very realistic. I think he's a unique player, that there's not a whole lot of other players you could compare what he's done. There's not many guys that have played that many snaps on both sides of the ball. And you watch his tape and you see his ability to play both at a very high level. So, yeah, I think anybody that you talk to about him is going to say the same thing, that he's got the ability to play both. And that I think you're going to find out where he fits if you were to get him. But he's got a really unique ability to do a lot of different things. Well, you got to start somewhere. I mean, you got to put your teeth in a position first, and then you see where you can add them in. So those are all conversations that we have as we work through the process on where, you know, a player like him, what do you do with a player like him, and where do you first start him, and where does he help you on all sides of the ball? So he can return punts. He can, you know, I mean, he's got a really unique skill set that I don't think there's many players you can compare him to.
So where do you first start?
I would say you probably start him. He probably starts at corner, and then you find ways to interject him into the offense as he gets more comfortable. He plays more and more offensively. But I think his corner is probably his starting point. In my opinion, you might get varying opinions on that, but then I think he's got a real role as a receiver. Yeah, we got to get better up front. There's no doubt. You know, we had too many sacks given up, too much pressure. We have to be able to settle that part down. We got to improve the front. I would say you got to improve the fronts on both sides. We're looking to add talent on both sides of the fronts, and I think you can see, you know, the teams that were in it at the end there, that was a major part in their successes, was their ability to play, you know, stout, strong defense and pass rush, and then you got to be able to protect it. So we're always looking for trench players, I guess, is the best way to put it. But yeah, there's always that outlier. If you could find a great guy, a guy that can score touchdowns at a high rate, that part factors in.
So, on that note, when you talk about the difference between fit and then talent level, how do you kind of measure where maybe a guy is a more physically gifted player but hasn't done things in college that fit what you might ask of him?
Yeah.
There's a player who has done things that you've asked about but may not be physical and talent, maybe not possible.
Sure, I think the best way to put that is our job as coaches is to put players in the best position to have success. And I would never sacrifice talent for system. It's always going to be player-driven and player-first. So if you can find a great player, we fit them. And however that looks, there's plenty of plays in football in all three phases that you can find ways for guys to have success. So I would always say the player is going to come first, and it's our job as coaches to fit what we do around that player, whether that's an offensive lineman, a receiver, a quarterback, a pass rusher, whatever that looks like. Our job is to fit the system to the talent, and I would never sacrifice scheme over talent at the end of the day as a general philosophy.
Yeah.
Oh, they're both worthy of the conversations that they're in right now. You know, they're both good players. I think they've earned the right to be in the conversations they're in. As far as where I see them and how I stack them, that's for me. But I do think they're worthy of those companies. There's some other good players in this class too, and I do think that one of the things that's most important is that you never make an assumption when you're in this process, and that you treat every prospect, whether you think they're the first pick or the 200 and something pick, that you go through that evaluation phase with the same intensity and thoroughness that you would regardless of where you think they fall. And so you have an accurate evaluation of all the players, where the class stands and how you'd stack the class. That's also really important because there's evidence over the years that there's a lot of players that in those later rounds that end up being impactful players. And so you just make sure that you do your due diligence on all the positions from the top of the class to the back of it, so you have a great feel for where those guys might fall. I think there's a challenge to it because what they do in college is so different than what they're asked to do in the NFL. Usually you find some version of what they do that's good, whether they're a good run blocker or natural pass protector. And you know there's going to be some development that has to take place. There's going to be a part of their game that they're going to have to get better at. And they're playing a different caliber of player, too, which, you know, some of these tackles, they don't realize how good every week there's a $100 million pass rusher on the other side. So there's development that goes into it, and you have to be able to do that. And that's the key for the offensive linemen is how quickly they can take to that coaching and perform. Thank you.
There you go. That's Brian Callahan, Titans head coach from the NFL Combine. I think Mike Borgonzi is probably going to follow him pretty quickly, but we'll keep an eye on that and maybe step away, but we'll keep an eye on that for just a second. But look, I mean, I think the big question that stood out to me, and here is Mike Borgonzi.
What are you doing? Any questions? Yeah, it seems to be, yeah. Yeah. Well, it has been, yeah. I mean, it has been in the media, for sure. You know, anytime you have number one pick, it's always going to be a topic of conversation. Yeah.
Has it gotten to a point where a lot of other teams are getting very nosy?
You know, I would say we've had some phone calls. Yeah, and I'll keep those phone calls to the vest, but we've had some phone calls, yeah. Listen, there's a handful of players, you know, anytime you're at the top of the draft that you would deem generational talents. And we certainly feel that way this year as well. Well, it's a real skill set of talent, you know, an impact player that can take the team to another level, whatever position it is. And then they also have to have the character makeup as well to go with it. Yeah. You know, I was there for 16 years, so, you know, we weren't just going to Super Bowls every year when I first got there. So, you know, in 2012, we had a 2-14 season where we had to, you know, rebuild it. So, yeah, you know, there's some things throughout that process that I'll take, you know, just in terms of building the core positions that you need on the roster, offensive line, defensive line, and then also just getting, you know, trying to build the culture right, too, to try to get the right type of people in there as well, people who are smart, tough, dependable, selfless players, team players. So that's what we're looking for right now. I'm sorry? Yeah, I mean, Abdul's a very good player. I don't want to go into many evaluations of the players, but like I said, there's certainly some players at the top there that fit that description of generational talent. Well, I think it's always important. I mean, you can have Superman back there, and if you don't have the protection up front to protect, to be able to run the football, to be able to create balance in the game, that's the most important part, is building through the trenches. So offensive line, defensive line is going to be a big priority for us. Yeah, we really haven't really gone into too much of that. You know, I've fielded some calls at this point, but we really haven't gone too much into it right at this point. Yeah. So to answer your first question, the last few weeks we've been in meetings the whole time, draft meetings, free agency meetings, going over our roster as well, meeting with the coaches. So it's been a busy time. In terms of the strengths, I'd say obviously defensive line, specifically edge players. It's a really deep draft. I would say running backs, it's a good draft. There's some good tight ends in that position group. I think it's a good draft overall, but there's certainly some positions that more strength and a little bit more depth in the middle to later rounds as well.
This team spent a lot of capital on offensive line. Does that factor in at all to what you're going forward because it hasn't spent a lot of capital at other positions?
No, not necessarily. I think we're starting this off on a clean slate right now. And offensive line, like I said, is going to be a top priority, whether that's through free agency, the draft, or anything, waiver claims, trades. We're going to look onto every avenue really to add to that group. And I think the most important part too is adding the right type of players to that group too. So that's a tight knit group, that offensive line. Getting tough guys in there, smart, dependable, good teammates. The characteristics for that group are very important. Yeah, I think that's the goal we stated to, like I said, draft picks are our biggest form of currency. We're always going to try to gather as many picks in the top 100 as we can. But we have to be disciplined through the process here, as we're going through and looking at free agents and, possible trades. We certainly want to hold on to our draft picks as much as we can.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, obviously Getoff, the ability to dip around the edge and just having a relentless passion to get to the quarterback is a big part of it. So those qualities are, things that we're really looking for. Sure, you can think that way. But at the end of the day, we have to make the best decision at this point for the Titans. And if we deem like taking a quarterback is the most important thing right now, then we'll do that. But we have to go through this process here. So this is like one touch point in the process. We've gone through the whole evaluation part. Now we're finally getting to sit down and meet with these guys and talk with them. We'll have pro days. They'll have 30-day visits. So we have to go through the whole process really to make that decision. We do. We always have, you don't want to make exceptions at certain positions. So we'll have a profile for each position. Now, you never want to just throw away a good football player. But we certainly have profiles for every position in terms of, when we're making acquisition periods, whether it's free agency or the draft. Well, that's part of the strategy that you have to put together. Just like we're going to have a free agent strategy, there's going to be a draft strategy too. So we'll get together as a group and think through all that. But you certainly don't want to pass up on one of those players if you think they're there. And an opportunity to trade back, depends how far you can go back to get that player. So to your point, there's a strategy to it. Well, I think in the press conference, our philosophy is we want to draft and develop. That's going to be our number one thing, number one priority. But to be selective is just to have discipline in the process. We're going to have targeted players that we want. And if sometimes, that player doesn't come to us, we're not just going to jump to the next player. We're going to have players that we're going to target. And you have to have discipline throughout that process as well. Sure, Paul. I think that's part of the strategy, too. We're trying to fill, probably as many holes as we can before the draft, and you're trying to see, at this point, you have a free agency board, you have a draft board. You're trying to see the depth in free agency and the depth in the draft and where you might be able to acquire those players. But you certainly want to try to fill as many holes as you can in free agency. And, you know, we have some work to do on the roster.
What do you do at quarterback in free agency? Might that tip on what you're doing?
I don't think that will depend. I don't think those will go hand in hand. We could sign a quarterback in free agency and also draft a quarterback as well. Depends on the situation. You know, the places I've been, we've always had, older quarterbacks kind of mentor the younger quarterback. It's almost like another coach in the room for them, just to kind of show them how to be a pro, teach them all the little things about protection and just how to study opponents. That would probably be a priority for us if we did end up drafting a quarterback. Yeah. He's a special player, yeah, for sure. We were watching him, and I don't know if there's anybody that's actually done what he's done in the modern-day football, playing both offense and defense during the course of a season. He's definitely – he's a special player. You know, I think we have some good interior guys right now with Sweat and Simmons. There's some pieces on the roster. You know, Calvin's still a good receiver. But we have to get better throughout the offensive line. And that's going to be a priority for us. And that's part of the process here, too, is we're evaluating this roster, is trying to figure out, where are the weak points right now? Where do we really have to improve? But there are some pieces on the roster that we can build on, and certainly that interior defensive line is one of them. You know, our hope is to compete every year for a division, Paul. But it's a process. So, hopefully we're in contention this year. You always want to manage expectations, though. So, as we go through this process, we acquire players. I think we'll have a better idea as we head into the season. I think he could. Yeah, I think he could. You've seen it. You've seen tape of it, and playing, corner and receiver. So, I think he can do both at a high level. Yeah, you take every drill into account. Really just a validation of what you see on tape. Does the guy run as fast as you think he ran during when he was playing during the fall? And then it's almost like a red flag system too. So if there's some certain drills that they don't do well, that causes you to kind of go back and do a little more work in the tape to make sure you've seen it right as well. Yeah, so that was part of the process over the last few weeks, is really because we're trying to get everything done at once here, free agency draft, and we met with the coaches during lunch during these times, just to get a feel of, the players on the roster, specifically, how they are in meeting rooms and everything else. So that's a big part of it. We met with Brian and his staff over the past month here. I think we're in good shape right now. Yeah. I've been there before. I mean, it's arguably the most important position in sports, the quarterback position. So you have to get that right. We have to solidify that position. And we have Will on the roster right now, and he's going to compete with whoever we bring in. We have one quarterback on the roster, so we're bringing people in. And Will will compete with them as well. I mean, if he's a generational pass rusher, I just like him to rush the passer, at that point, just play to his strengths. But now if there's a guy that can drop in coverage, that's great. But if their strength is rushing the passer, that's what we want to see him do. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's an important time for us. You get in, you know, early in the morning before the sun's up, and you're out of the building when the sun's down. So that's what he's referring to, and it's going into darkness is what we call it. But it's an important time for just to build camaraderie with the staff, creating bonds with the staff as well. And so we did that for the past months, which I think was great. Yeah, so we set the board the first time, and we call it phase one. And I try to tell the scouts, listen, this isn't the final process. We have a lot of information to gather, medical information, character information, measurables, testing, but we do have an initial board set right now. You know, we try not to make drastic changes, Paul, on it, but some of the medical information obviously will affect that. You know, some of the testing does move guys up and down the board a little bit, but, you know, we try not to make drastic measures. We want to be a tape-driven team and really not just depend on these other variables that come in. Small moves, yeah.
Hey, if you're with the National...
All right, there we go. That is Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi. A lot to unpack there. He said something that I think is going to get a lot of people talking. One particular line. We will discuss that and what Brian Callahan said coming up next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
I don't think that will depend. I don't think those will go hand in hand. We could sign a quarterback in free agency and also draft a quarterback as well. Depends on the situation. You know, the places I've been, we've always had older quarterbacks kind of mentor the younger quarterback. It's almost like another coach in the room for them, just to kind of show them how to be a pro, teach them all the little things about protection and just how to study opponents. That would probably be a priority for us if we did end up drafting a quarterback.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. That was Titans general manager Mike Borgonzi at his press conference in Indianapolis at the Combine, and he's also speaking to Nashville reporters kind of in a smaller scrum right now. But that was the quote that really stood out to me. He said they're going to be selective in free agency, that they have guys that they're going to target. If they don't get them, they're not going to just sign somebody at the same position. They're being very careful and targeted with their free agents. But I thought that quote was interesting because he's basically telling you, hey, we could do both. There could be a guy in the draft we like. There could be a guy in free agency we like, and it works out, and we bring them in. Will Levis is the only quarterback on the roster right now, and they're going to bring in guys to compete with him. And so, I mean, I could definitely see that scenario where they sign a guy, and then maybe they don't take Ward or Sanders, but they – you know, they draft somebody like a Will Howard or whatever in the later rounds. I mean, there are some potential diamonds in the rough candidates in this draft. I think that could be a little bit of a stretch, but you never know. And I'll never forget Floyd always saying if he could get away with it, he'd take a quarterback in every draft. So it's the most important position for a reason. But I found that one interesting. Real quick, Josh from Columbia said he said Will is the only quarterback on the roster and they're going to bring people to compete with him. Then he said before that if they take a young quarterback, they would want to make it a priority to bring in a vet to help the rookie along. So they're either going to draft a quarterback, cut Will Levis and sign a vet, or bring in a vet to compete with Will Levis. They're not taking a quarterback. That's what I got out of that. I did not get that out of that, Josh. I think they're open to just about anything right now. He's very calculated in what he says, and I like that about him. He does, you know, I'm just going to be real with you. He reminds me a little bit of Floyd with some of the ways he says things that he kind of makes you think, oh, he might do this. Oh, wait, but he could do that. Like he's saying a lot without saying anything. And so I like that. I think that's a good strategy to have as a general manager. Brian Callahan earlier in his availability said that, you know, he views the quarterbacks at the top of the draft as being, being potentially, you know, competing for the starter. And so I think that's fair. Very interesting stuff. We'll get back into it. We'll have some clips. We'll continue the discussion. But coming up next, we'll tell you about an event coming to our city, which involves WWE Hall of Famer, the Honky Tonk Man. We'll talk to him next here on Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.